Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Solitude and Single Track podcast, where we talk about our lives as off-grid RV nomads, riding our dirt bikes around the Pacific Northwest, all things moto and other off-grid related topics. My name is Zoe Anderson and I'm your host on this podcast, and today we're going to be talking about basically being off-grid, because we are finally back off-grid again. If you haven't been following my podcast, this is your first time, welcome. Thank you for tuning in. I so appreciate it. We have not been off-grid full-time ever. We have the goals of being off-grid 100% of the time, but we're just not there yet. So we've been kind of doing this on-again, off-again thing where we'll be off-grid for 6 to 7 months and then be in town for a little while just to do other projects and other things. Anyways, I digress. So if you normally watch my podcast on YouTube, which isn't very many of you because all my views are really low, I'm not posting this as a video podcast today for a number of reasons, mostly because it just takes 10 years for anything to upload on Starlink. So I don't feel like wasting, you know, like 30 hours of upload time of my life and holding up my iPad for that long for a podcast. So you get a video, or you don't get a video podcast this week. And I say week because I'm going to try to get back to weekly podcasts. I've got a couple podcast ideas I need to record. And that also brings me to my next topic of the fact that I am the world's worst social media influencer, if you even want to call me that. I don't even like calling myself that because I don't make money doing this. I do it for fun. And I'm not even trying to be. I'm just trying to share my own experiences and connect with people and show people that it's okay to, you know, suck on a dirt bike for a while before you get better. And also just talk about things that, you know, I experience that might help somebody else. So I'm just doing it for whoever wants to listen to me blab for an hour. Anyways, so let's just get into it. We have been off. We have been living at my mother-in-law's, basically in our driveway, for the last 5 months. And now we are back in the woods and it's been great. It's been a little bit of an adjustment. So we did a lot of modifications to our trailer in the last 5 months. And so we've kind of, it's taken some time to troubleshoot some things and figure some other things out. We did a solar upgrade, a massive solar upgrade of wattage. So we had 800 watts of panels for the last couple years, and it was okay, but we still had to run the generator a lot, and we just don't want to run the generator at all. So we like completely went overkill, and we went with 1800 watts of solar total. And that's been great. I will admit the first couple days we had some issues, and it felt like we just weren't charging as much as we should be, even though we should be, you know, we have way too many panels for what we have. And we weren't charging very well, and that turned out to be a couple of wiring issues. So once those are fixed, we were able to stop running the generator, and we were able to like actually use our solar. So like we had to run our generator for like the first week a couple times a day because we just were trying to troubleshoot that wiring issue, and finally figured it out, and now everything's fine. Anyways, I haven't had to run the generator at all for weeks, unless we like needed to run the welder or something silly like that. Taylor pulled the generator out the other day to, what did he use it for? Oh, for a hot glue gun. I like heard the generator turn on and I walk outside and he's like got a hot glue gun plugged into it. And I'm like, really? That's what the generator's here for? For your hot glue gun? I mean, I guess whatever works. If I guess it's not drawing our battery, which I don't think a hot glue gun draws that much power. But anyways, yeah, so not having to run the generator has been amazing because I hate running the generator and I hate having to go outside to turn it off. And I just hate the sound of it. It's annoying. So now that our solar's figured out, that's been great. I can run our oven, and something I've actually learned is Traegers are amazing. We have a Traeger Ranger now as a smoker, and we use it all the time, and I'm gonna actually start using it for baking rather than my Ninja Foodi oven. Not that there's anything wrong with my oven, because I love the oven, but it draws a lot of power. Like the other day I baked a loaf of bread, so I had it running at like 450 for like 30 minutes, and it literally took 25% of our batteries. And so I've spent like all day playing catch up, trying to get it to charge in like full cloud cover. So that's one reason I'm not doing a video podcast, is because I don't want to turn the lights on because I'm trying to make sure the batteries stay charged. But yeah, so we have like the capacity to do anything we want. Basically, we do have two extra 100 amp hour batteries that we're probably going to add at least one more to our three that we have in the trailer, just so we have that extra, capacity. I'm at a loss for words today. Anyways, so yeah, so that's been awesome. We also added a freezer. And the freezer is super helpful because before we only had this like college dorm like mini fridge with a shoebox sized freezer. And so like we could only buy so many groceries, and now like I can buy like pizza rolls if I wanted to, or ice cream, and like all the meat that I want that's on sale, and I can package it up and I can freeze it. So we don't have to make these bi-weekly grocery store trips. Well, I guess we kind of still do make like bi-weekly grocery store trips because we go through milk because we have a lot of lattes. I know, it's a rough life. It's such a rough life for us, going through all this milk for lattes in our off-grid RV. Sad. So yeah, solar has fixed all of our problems. We also got a cargo trailer, and I'm going to go into this just a little bit, but not a whole lot. And wow, it's really windy. Why is it windy? Scary. I don't want my awning to flip. Sorry. So the cargo trailer has been phenomenal because we can put our bikes in it. It's basically like our whole garage. And there's always going to be that guy who's like, well, why do you have, don't you have a toy hauler, or shouldn't you just get a bigger trailer? And I'm not going to go into all the 5 million reasons of why we don't have a bigger trailer, because I've made a podcast about it, and maybe I'll do another one. But no, I don't want a bigger trailer. We're not going to get a bigger trailer. We like our trailer. It's fine. Let us do us. You do you. We do we. Leave me alone. I don't care about your opinion. Not to sound like a jerk, but I don't. I just don't care. What works for us, and that's why there's different ways to do things, because people are different, and we're different people. Anyways, made my point. Cargo trailer has been a game changer. All of our gear stays in there, all of our tools, all of our bikes. We have a dry space to work on stuff if we need it. It's been really awesome. Like, I just cannot express how awesome it's been to not store our crap in a tent outside. So now everything is going to, like, hold up better, way better, because last year we had issues just from things being stored in that tent. I guess a tent is better than being stored in the weather, but it's not really that much better. So we had like a lot of things that would wear a lot sooner than they needed to, a lot of things that would rust sooner, you know, all of our tools got really rusty. It's just a bunch of little things, you know, you store things that are nice in the weather and they're not going to last as long. So we're trying to keep better care of the things that we have, because this is not an easy lifestyle to live. It's not easy to keep things nice and clean. It's not a cushy life. That's all I have to say. So we've definitely had some adjustments to make after living, you know, in town and basically living in a house for 5 months. There's always like that, the few weeks of figuring things out and remembering, oh yeah, this is how we have to do things. And so one of those things was remembering that we didn't store things properly. So like our diesel heater, which has been great. It's, you know, it's the $130 diesel heater you can buy on Amazon. It's fantastic, except that we had old diesel sitting in it forever, and we've like grenaded several fuel pumps. But the nice thing is we've figured out how to fix it. Watch my YouTube video on how to fix a Chinese diesel heater fuel pump, and it will save you so much money once you know how to, whoops, my phone, I should put it on do not disturb. Once you know how to fix your diesel heater without having to buy parts continually, because like if you're like us, like we can't have Amazon shipped to our house, we can't just like put our ad, like we don't have an address, we're in the middle of the woods and we're in different places all the time. Like I can't have Amazon deliver me a diesel heater fuel pump or a glow plug or anything, so we have to, like, drive into town, like, have it put in an Amazon locker, have it shipped to mother-in-law's house, and, so yeah, so people who are off-grid don't have those options of just getting something, you know, next day prime. So yeah, so learning how to fix it. We've learned how to fix the stupid diesel heater. Another thing is, like, partially my fault. I did a water flush over the winter on our recirculating water system for our shower, but I forgot a really, really crucial component of that, and that was to replace the filters. So when we went to, you know, take showers, the old nasty, disgusting filters basically, like, ruined all of the fresh water that I had just put in there. So we had to order new filters because I suck. And yeah, so we haven't been using our recirculating shower system for the last couple weeks. And once we put the new, we have the new filters, we just haven't put them in yet. So we've been taking, like, these, I want to call them, like, military style showers, where one of us will stand outside, like, with the spigot, and the other person's, like, taking a shower. So, like, I'll be in the shower and, like, I'll tell Taylor to turn the water on, and, like, I'll just, like, get water enough to get wet, and then, like, okay, turn it off, and I'll, like, soap up, lather up, and then, okay, turn it on, and then I'll rinse off, and then, okay, turn it off. And so we try to use as little water as possible, because we only have 11 gallons of onboard water, so it goes really quick, and you can take an 11 gallon shower really, really quick. So we try to take, like, 1 to 2 gallon showers instead. But once I put the filters in, which will be soon, I keep saying that, but then I keep not doing it, we'll be able to take our loop showers again. But the only downside to that is we can't use soap in our loop shower system because it clogs the filters way faster than it would if you didn't use soap. But yeah. So yeah, so we figured out our solar issues. We've, now figured out the shower issue, figured out the diesel heater issue. Just, you know, it's little things. Every year we learn new things, and, it's a learning experience. You can do all the research you want. Hours and hours and hours of research into this type of lifestyle. And it's never, research is never a substitute for actual experience. So every year we learn new things, and maybe this will be, we really, really hope this is the year we finally got, like, our poop in a group and we can be, like, out in the woods for a full year. Like, that is, like, our goal right now. Like, you know, little baby step goals. We've done 7 months, and now we want to do a full year. That's the goal. But there's always things we have to figure out. And I, you know, briefly touched on the water thing, and that's another thing that we need to figure out is, water is, yeah, water, what's the word I'm looking for? Storage, water storage, because we only have 11 gallons. So what we do with our water right now is we have a 15 gallon, one of those, like, Rhino totes, which is meant for, like, black water, which has never been used for black water. We bought it brand new. And we take that to the nearest well, which is not very far, and we pump it full of water, and then we bring it back home, and we use a transfer pump to pump it into our onboard water tank. And that's been working. We also have, like, several 5 gallon water jugs that we fill up as well. But it's kind of a pain in the ass to have, like, all of these different water totes for our water. So we're trying to figure something out, whether that's expand our current water tank, which would kind of suck to do because that would really put a lot more weight in the trailer, and we're kind of nearing the capacity at which we want to tow at. So we're looking into that. Another thing that we're looking into, like I have mentioned also, is the hard-sided tip outs. That is amongst the next projects that we'll be doing to the trailer, and that's something that we'll probably be doing off-grid because the only way to really test that kind of theory is to, you know, live it. And when we're in a driveway in an HOA, I don't think people like, you know, looking at ugly, I don't know what it's going to look like. It should look okay, but we can't fully expand in someone's driveway. So we're going to try to do that project out here. That way we can also, you know, be able to extend our time being off grid into the whole 12 month period thing, like I was talking about. So hard sided tip outs for more room, because need more room, and then figuring out water capacity are two things that we're going to try to figure out here very shortly. Let's see. Moisture is still an issue. If you've ever lived in an RV or been in an RV for a short amount of time, even if you've like camped in a tent, like condensation, like it collects really fast. So on days like today where it's rainy, cloudy, yucky, I'm inside all day long with the dog. We're sitting here breathing and like creating all this condensation here. I've had to run the wood stove most of the day. I did let it go out for a couple hours because I was lazy. But now that I've got it going again, it's greatly like reduced the amount of moisture. Like you can feel the moisture in the air, and it doesn't take very long for you to be able to like feel like the air getting heavy with, humidity. So that's something that we do struggle with, and how we combat that is, you know, to run the wood stove. We do have a small dehumidifier. We run that every once in a while on a good sunny day. I also, like, on the sunny days, I'll open the windows and the doors and the tip out and let everything air out. I'll even put the bed up. So our bed, like, it's on these rollers and it rolls up into a futon. So the more I pick that up and allow the floor to get dry, the more our floors are going to stay nice. Because that is one of the like fatal flaws with these trailers is they use really, really crappy floors. They use OSB flooring, and once that gets wet, it's like a sponge. And unfortunately, our floors have gotten damp, and so they're pretty disfigured. They're still solid, but they're getting a little wavy. But again, they're still completely solid. We're not due to replace floors yet, but I can't imagine that they'll last more than, you know, another couple of years. And when they do go, we'll just replace them with some kind of composite flooring. So yeah, those are the things that we got to figure out. Since our diesel heater wasn't working, our diesel heater actually hasn't been working until like the last couple of days. So we've only been using the wood stove for heat, which means that we go through a lot of wood, especially on the rainy days. On a day where it doesn't stop raining, I will go through 2 of those plastic milk crates full of wood or more. And I have little patience for cutting wood, so I'll just cut like 1 milk crate at a time. So then I'll like cut 1 milk crate, and then I'll like go through it all, and I'll go back outside, cut another milk crate, and like curse about it the whole time. Which it doesn't take all that long. It's just when we've run out of 2x4s, so now we're like using these random offcuts of wood. So I have to like split them, and then I have to use our circular saw to cut them. There's got to be a better way to do it, but that's the way we do it. Yeah, so been going through a lot of wood. Another thing we've been doing, and one reason that I haven't been posting content as much as I should, is I've been riding a lot, and I've been really bad about filming my riding. And like, I bought this Insta360, and I've been like kind of scared to use it because I don't have a helmet mount on my enduro helmet. I only have one on my trials helmet, and so I don't mount it on my helmet when I ride the big bike, but I do when I ride trials. So I've been mounting it to my handlebar on my 300, and I'm a little bit scared to like drop my bike because I watched this one girl wreck on her bike not too long ago, and when she had her Insta360 mounted like I normally mount mine, and it like cracked the screen, and I'm like, fudge, I don't want that to happen to me. So I've kind of like been experimenting with different positions for my Insta360 and figuring out what would be the safest way for it. And thankfully I haven't crashed with the Insta on it yet. I'm going to knock on wood to make sure that I didn't just jinx myself. But I have gotten some pretty good footage of riding that I just need to edit. And it's just editing 360 footage is such, it's a pain in the butt, you guys. Like, it's just, it's not fun because I have to do it like on their proprietary software, and then it's just, it's a butt. So I've been dragging my heels doing that, which is one of the reasons that I haven't been posting anything. But yeah, so I've been writing, and if I don't film, then I just don't have anything to post about. But like every Wednesday, like my friends come up and meet me to ride. And that's been awesome because if you are, actually not if you are, but I've noticed from a lot of the women riders that I've talked to, and I'm going to say specifically women, not that like guys can't be like this, but I've noticed like more commonly with like the women riders who like their significant other got them into riding, like they only ride with their significant other. And that's like how it's been with me and Taylor for the last 6 years is like we ride together. Like every once in a while we'll ride with another friend. But like I always ride with Taylor. So this year I've been writing a lot more with other people. Like, I was going out and writing with one of my girlfriends when we were at my mother-in-law's. Like, I would go out with her, like, mostly once a week, I guess. And then, like, I joined this group chat called Northwest Woods Women, who is, like, this group for people in the Pacific, or women in the Pacific Northwest who ride and, like, want to connect with other women riders. So I've met, like, a couple girls through that, and I've ridden with them. And I've just been trying to ride with more and more different people so I can get a better feel of, you know, just riding with different groups of people is really good for you. It helps. It helps to see other riders and watch other riders ride and see different styles of riding and all the other good stuff. You get a lot from riding with more people than just one other person. Not to say I don't love riding with Taylor, because I absolutely do. He's way faster than me, so I never get to, like, actually watch him ride. I always just kind of, you know, hang way back. So that's, like, kind of one thing that I've learned lately is I've always thought that I've been, like, a super slow rider because Taylor's always, like, way ahead of me. And he said I'm getting faster, but, like, he's still, like, way up there. And I think, like, he won't admit it, but I know he says that he does, like, between 30 and 35. And I'm like, no, there's no way. I mean, I guess there's a way, but I'm thinking that he's, like, he's probably doing, like, faster than that. And I have been trying to check my speed more often when I'm doing trails. And I find that on, like, wider trails, I'm typically between the 20 to 25 mile per hour mark. And then on, like, single track, I'm around 18 is usually where I stick. And I feel like I'm pretty consistent speed wise, like, through, like, hard stuff and fast and flowy. Like, I don't really speed up in, like, some of the faster stuff. I kind of stick around the same speed. And then same within, like, the harder stuff. Like, I'll slow down a little bit, but not, like, too much. Anyways, but I've learned that, I am now, like, finally at a speed where I can keep up with 90% of the people that, you know, come out here and ride, which is amazing because, like, that's always been my goal, is to just, like, be able to keep up with other people and not, like, be that one rider that just holds everybody back in a group, because that's been me for, like, the last 6 years, to be completely honest with you. I've been so slow and so, so scared, and I'm finally not to that point. There's this, I can't remember what bike I was on. I think I was on my KX85. I think it was, like, when I first started riding, where I was riding with my husband and my father-in-law. And we came across this group of riders that was coming at us. And the first person in the group of riders was, like, a girl, and the rest of them were dudes. And I just remember thinking, like, man, I want to be her one day. Like, I want to be able to lead the pack without, like, being scared, without, like, holding everybody back. And now I'm finally, like, I think at that mark, and that feels really good. Like, it's small things, you know, it's not the big goals. So that being said, I have mentioned before that I wanted to do some racing, and I, was kind of sticking to that. I really want to do this race or do a couple races this year up until, like, the last couple weeks. The last few weeks I have either had friends or have witnessed some really nasty motorcycle accidents, and I don't think I want to race anymore. And, sorry, I keep saying, this is, like, one of the first podcasts I'm doing without, like, being super scripted. I have seen enough accidents to where I'm starting to, like, think in my mind, like, this is the universe's sign. It's telling me something. It's telling me, it's not necessarily telling me that I, like, should not ride or, like, that I should not race, but it's telling me that maybe I should, you know, take a step back. Think about what level you're really at. Not that I'm not ready to race or anything, but I don't know if I'm ready mentally after, you know, witnessing a couple really nasty accidents and having a friend be in a really, really bad one where I'm kind of, it scared me. It scared me to the point where I will no longer ride alone anymore unless I'm, you know, in my own space. Like, if I'm just, like, riding around the trailer in this, like, immediate area, I'll do that. But I will no longer take trails alone because I don't want to get in an accident where I get, you know, critically injured and then there's nobody around to save me. And this could be remedied with a Garmin InReach or something like that. And so that's definitely something on our bucket list, is to buy a Garmin InReach for, you know, one of us to have if either of us are on a trail alone. But we've both kind of decided that that's kind of, it's the amount of injuries that we've seen has now kind of solidified that fact, that riding alone is too dangerous. And I'm sorry if you feel otherwise, if you're one of those people like, oh, I only ride alone, I love solo rides, that's great, you do you. Same with like the whole trailer thing, like whatever works for you is great. I will not be doing that for my own reasons. I will ride with the group. I have no desire to ride by myself. I have done several solo rides and they've been really good and really therapeutic. And I won't say that I hate riding alone, because I really actually enjoy riding alone. I take my time. I really like doing trail work on my own, because I don't have to worry about what other people are doing, because I can stop and, you know, do some brushing or trimming. So I might do a little bit of that by myself, as long as I tell somebody, you know, text Taylor and say, hey, I'm taking these specific trails, I'm doing trail work, so I'm not gonna be going fast. Like, you know, I'll have like a chainsaw, or I'll have a handsaw, like I'll have tools with me, so I'm not gonna be hauling butt on the trails. I don't know at this point in time that I'm going to be entering in any kind of race. I'm still gonna be doing trials. I love trials. Trials has been great. And honestly, I really attribute or contribute, well, what word am I looking for? I'm looking for a word and I can't think of it. I'm blaming trials for the reason that I feel like I'm a much more confident rider now than I was 5 months ago, because the last 5 months I've only ridden trials bikes. Like, I have not been on my 300 at all until the last month. And doing that has helped me immensely in so many different ways. So if you are on the fence about buying a trials bike, even if it's just for learning how to do things and being a better rider, like on a bigger bike, just do it. Just buy a trials bike. I'm telling you, it's worth it. It's going to suck for a little while, and then you're going to ride it for a while and you're like, oh, actually, it's not so bad. Sorry, that was my fire making sounds. So, yeah. So that's pretty much where we've been for the last month, is I've done a lot of riding. We've done a lot of trial and error on, you know, our trailer build stuff. And everything's kind of working out really well. It's been a lot of fun being out here. Even on these rainy days, it's actually kind of nice to sit back and do some self-reflection. And it gives me the time to, you know, edit videos like I'm doing today and making podcasts. It's kind of like, it's been good. It's been really good for the mental health being out here and not being in town and being clouded with all these things. Like, you get, I don't know, when I'm like in town for a long period of time, and I remember feeling like this, and you know, when we lived in an apartment by ourselves too, it's like you start to feel like a trapped animal. Like, you, like, okay, I'm in, what do I do? How do I get my enrichment? Like, I go to the grocery store or I go to the mall. That kind of enrichment doesn't, like, I've left the trailer. I've left this immediate area 3 times in the last month. That's it. I've driven a car 3 times in the last month. And, I don't feel like claustrophobic. I don't feel like I would if I was like stuck in a house in a suburb for a full month without being able to leave. Because like, there was a period of time, like when we were staying at my mother-in-law's, where I didn't have a car because the C10 was broken, and it was like super miserable. Like, I could go on walks around the neighborhood, or like I'd walk my dog to the store, and like we'd go for really long walks, but it was like, it sucked. Like, I felt like I had no freedom. And like, I have the C10, like I can drive, I have a car to drive. Do I need to? No, I have everything I need to do right here. Like, I can go ride my dirt bike, I can go hike, I can go swim, I can go do whatever I want, because everything that I want to do is here. Like, I don't have any desire to go to the mall, I don't want to go to the store, I don't want to do all those things that are like superficial and I'm going to be too mean. I don't want to be mean today. I don't have any desire to do any of the things that society says that you need to enjoy doing. I like being in the woods. I like my solitude. And I like my single track. So that's why I made this podcast. Because I'm out here enjoying my solitude and I'm enjoying my single track. And that's all I've got for you for today. I appreciate anybody who has listened to my podcast, whether you're a new listener or a repeat listener, even if you're a friend that I enticed you into listening. I appreciate all of you guys because it's helped me get my voice out. And if you have any suggestions or comments or anything like that, feel free to shoot me an email. I'll leave my email in the show notes. If you know me personally, shoot me a DM, text, whatever. I'm always all ears for suggestions and comments, concerns, things like that. Until next time.